Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. This is Jeanette Abney, and I want to thank you for joining me here for another episode here at Precious Predicaments Blog Talk Radio. I want to first thank my Heavenly Father for waking me up this morning. I also want to thank the lady that was helping me do my camera, or my, I want to say my recording for my Facebook Live, as I try to go on so that I won't be tagging if all of you let me know that the show is about to come on, and for those individuals that I've been talking to over the phone about this topic. As this topic is a very interesting topic. Now, I want to join, I got somebody on, it's been on for a while, hopefully it's the pastor. Let me see who this is. Hi, this is Jeanette. How are you doing? Okay. I guess the person don't want to say nothing, and the pastor's not on yet. So today's topic is entitled Equally Yoked. Now, this topic kind of came up last week when the pastor and I were on the radio, and we were talking about our last week topic. So we decided to add this topic on for today. And part of it is, you know, this is the month of June. Many individuals are going to be getting married. A lot of individuals are in love. It's warm. It's the summertime. And this is the best weather, especially in California, to have a beautiful wedding. Now, when we talk about equally yoked, what does that mean to be equally yoked? Sounds like a simple question, yet one may respond in many different ways. This can make the dating process complicated. Now, if you grew up in church, you may have likely heard of being equally yoked as it is referenced to a relationship. But I want to say that when I was looking for information in the Bible, they were saying it's not even written like that. But the pastor's going to have to explain this to me. Now, it may also be used as a guidance as to how to select a mate or life partner. Now, with 2 Corinthians 6:14 says, do not be yoked together with unbelievers. So when does one go from dating to marriage, and how often is it not that we wind up in trouble because we missed some of the signs by thinking we had the chemistry, we was in love, and you know that when we talk about God's plan, God's intention, you know, a lot of times we kind of get it mixed up with our own plans and our own intentions of what we want. Now, I can recall when a young couple would say that they were in love, and a senior would advise them otherwise, or they would say it was an old song that said, take time to know her. Now, if this is God's perfect plan, then why are so many believers missing the mark? So let me log on. I think this is the pastor. Good morning. This is Jeanette Abney. How are you doing?
Good morning. Doing really well. Looking forward to our subject matter on today. God has been good. It's a beautiful day in Southern California, and let's get to it.
I know. This is going to be one of those topics that's like, ooh. I can say it just I was looking up stuff last night because I had to go to a birthday party, and I got stuck up in L.A. So I'm like, thank God I had clothes in the trunk of my car, because if I did not, I'd be in trouble. So with this topic, equally yoked. Now, I was having dinner with my cousin and his wife, and it was interesting because I'm looking at how they are compatible, how they're different, how their upbringing is different, how their culture is different. When we talk about equally yoked, a lot of times people miss the mark. You know, I was looking at different things. They had eggs, and I was thinking, okay, when I was looking at them eggs, what if you open up an egg that don't have a yolk in it? Or what if that egg is messed up? You know, how do we become, or what does that mean? What does it really mean, Pastor, when we talk about being equally yoked?
Okay, let's jump right into it. First of all, dealing with the subject of marriage, and we have some very specific scriptures in regards to the statement of being equally yoked. And so, you know, in Deuteronomy, in the Old Testament, I want to start with that, it says, thou shalt not plow an ox and a donkey yoked together. And that's the Lord in the Old Testament giving a description about personality, style, size, communication, all those different things. And then Paul takes it in 1 Corinthians, the scripture you brought up, and talks about it in regards to the church at Corinth and then information for all new believers. And so when we look at being equally yoked, and we're going to bring it up several times over the call, when we first look at this, I want to say that as scholars become more educated in the biblical reference and translate the scriptures more from the Greek and get Paul's true meaning from this, from the old Hebrew, and get God's meaning through his apostles and his prophets, what he was talking about, it has expanded over time. And so as we mature more and become more educated, we've come to understand what this means. I'm going to talk about some of the abuses of this and how it's been used racially later on in the subject, in the show. But off the surface, let's let the believers know that this is what Paul means for the ideal situation of marriage. I want to point that out at the very beginning and to let the believers know that some of us don't have the idealistic situation. Some of us have different patterns, different ways we've come up, different ways and different circumstances. But for the ideal believer who is maturing in the church, has good parents, has good teachers, has a good pastor, Paul is directing this scripture to them. And when he's saying it, you know, he's saying don't team up, okay, with an unbeliever. And then he says, how can righteousness or a righteous partner be with an unrighteous partner who's living a wicked lifestyle? How can light dwell with darkness? And so for an ideal believer, this is a person who's saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost in the church. And let me point this out, who is single right now, okay? They don't have a girlfriend or a boyfriend, no one in mind. They have been focused on the Lord, and which reminds me a lot about when I grew up. I didn't have a lot of girlfriends. I was focused on my studies. I was focused on my career. I was focused on college. In fact, my first serious relationship was later on in college, and because this scripture right here took so much to heart. And so it's important for a believer to understand this because our purpose is to perpetuate the gospel and spread the gospel. And to do that best, that's what Paul is saying. It's best to do it with a believer than with an unbeliever who is going to hinder the furtherance of the ministry. Okay? That is the direct quotation. That is the direct translation of what he's saying there. Because earlier in that chapter, he talks about that the Lord allowed Paul to conject his opinion. And what's happened sometimes, if the Lord gives Moses that right, you know, David had that right in some of the Psalms, still under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And so Paul says in his writings, he says that, I wish that none were married at all. I wish that you were not married and single like me. And what Paul referring to is that he was so set out on spreading the gospel. He was so focused, and we call it in business laser focus. He was so laser focused on spreading the gospel that he says a relationship can't do nothing but get in the way. And so now I want to explain that farther, because in my studies as a pastor, and getting into scripture, we find out that Paul was a Pharisee before he became a Christian. And in order to be a Pharisee, under Hebrew law, by the writer Josephus, you had to be married. And so a lot of theologians agree with my point of view also that it's not in the Bible, but it's in other writings, that Paul was once married. And then once Paul became and converted from being an Orthodox Jew to being a disciple of the Lord, history shows that his wife left him because she didn't want to lose all that he had. Paul gave up his title, his status, his money, his home, and his wife got all of that, and they went through the law of divorcement. This is what a lot of theologians believe, okay, because in order to be in his former life, one of the outlines or one of the rules for a Pharisee is that you had to be married, because in the Jewish custom in Semitic history, leaders had to show the family pattern, okay, for their community.
Gotcha.
And so at one time he was married.
Okay. This line is blowing up. Let me add this caller on because I know we got one caller on. Hi, this is Jeanette. Welcome to Precious Predicaments Blog Talk Radio. How are you doing? Ending in last number, two numbers is 03. They just added, I'm logged on. So, okay, Pastor. Now, this topic, and I'm looking at a lot of different information, and we talk about believers, unbelievers. A lot of times individuals are in the church. They go to church together. They're praying together. They're studying together. They may have known each other since they were children. They felt that they grew up in the same neighborhood. They went to the same schools. You know, sometimes their parents was friends and wanted their children to marry. So, you know, we got a lot of this stuff confused. And it's interesting. You talk about when you was younger, I was scared of relationships. I'm still scared of relationships. I've always been a runner.
Mm-hmm.
And I always get myself in trouble because I get myself into stuff thinking, okay, I know how I'm going to get out of this. And my kids and my family told me I can't bring home no more husbands. They're about tired of me right about now. But the thing is, I don't want to live in sin, and I'm cool. But the problem is I always get in trouble with this. And I remember even in my last marriage, and I told him we was not equally yoked, he refused to believe me. And he thought that he could do this, but it was driving him crazy. With me going to church, with me watching the Word Channel. How do you get into that? Because he started off in the church, then wanted to become a Muslim, then wanted to tell me a Muslim can marry a Christian. What do that mean?
I'm going to first say this, is that for every single one of us, God gives us a preview of becoming attraction. And then he gives us free will. And so I've married over 200 couples. I've counseled most of them before we got married, and some of them have gotten divorced. And so not one of them could say to me that we did not see this coming, because God does show us signs, and a lot of us, and when I say us, I'm talking about married people in general, will go ahead anyway, because there's different types of love. When people say they're in love, Jeanette, you know, Paul talks about agape, of course, which is, you know, our the God love. Then there's eros, which is more sensual. Phileo, which is brotherly type of love. And so in our language, we got one word, love, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And the kids have become creative now, and they say, well, I like you, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But if I'm looking at my son, I say, I love you. And then I'm looking at my dog, who I love my dog. And then I love my car, you know, and I love my wife, okay, I love my home. We got that one word, but we express it in different ways when we say it. And so to answer your question is that communication is key. And when we have that communication and then we still come to the answer, you know, people tend to go ahead and they override that. And they say, well, let's see what's going to happen. Let's see what's going to happen. Well, we're going to talk about a little later some of the fallout, and that's what God is saying. So God is saying, can you be healed? Yes. Can you make it through? Yes. Can we deal with some things? Yes. But there's going to be scar tissue left. There's fallout. It doesn't, as you said earlier with your children, which was so very important, a marriage, a relationship just doesn't affect you. It affects all those around you too. It affects your children, the loved ones. It affects the church family. The church body, it affects all those things. And so my definition that I've gotten through the Holy Spirit about being equally yoked is so much more than being just saved and unsaved. Okay, we both saved, let's do it. And so I'm talking about, are we equally yoked financially?
Correct.
Because we have so many issues and, you know, God bless it. Women are doing well now in society. In the corporate world, we talk about women give you 2 points. A minority woman give you 2 points. You know what I mean. She's a minority woman.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? She's a minority and she's a woman. So she's more likely to get hired before a black man first, okay? As a result of that, and as a result of this strong, I call it gene, that black women have developed from generations of raised by a single mom and then being a single mom, black women have learned to fortify themselves and move ahead. And so in some instances now, we find where the African-American woman makes more than her husband. And what happens is that is both their money in the relationship, but sometimes we have like, well, you only making this, you only making that. We have pride situations that come up.
Correct.
We have ownership situations. We have you know, debt-to-income ratio. We have FICO score situations that come up. And without a man being strong enough and a woman having the sensibility to understand, you know, a man as a provider still and understand that it's more important to have a happy home than to show the power and want to take the authority away that God has given, where there should be equal, you know, it creates issues. Whereas if you're equally yoked financially, okay, there's less of an issue. And so there's financial, there's personality, there's styles, there's hobbies, there's the family dynamic. I had one couple whose issue was they ended up getting divorced was because the wife came from a big family. She wanted a lot of children. The husband was the only child. He didn't want no children. They thought they could discuss it. She wanted to marry this man so bad. They both were good people. They both were saved. They got married. That ended up being their demise because after a couple years, that burn, that itch didn't go away. She wanted children. And she thought that their love was going to be able to change his mind and turn him around. And so he didn't lie going into the relationship. He was honest with her. I do not want children. I'm from an only family. They were unequally yoked. Okay? See? And so the Lord had to heal them both. And so there's a lot of different equations. And so what we have to do is with good counseling, I can't express that enough because so many people get married without counseling. And can I say this too, as a therapist, you know this. I don't counsel for a rubber stamp. I let them know I'm not wasting my time. I don't want to get you a certificate so you can go back in front of the judge. I'm not trying to counsel you because this is one of my requirements to marry you. I really want you to listen to the counseling, to take heed, to take notes. And if there's issues, we need to really talk about them, or you need to have somebody else marry you. All of these things are to be taken serious. Yes, go ahead.
What I want to say, too, is one of the biggest things that I noticed that in individuals, especially a lot of the women that I surround myself with, is education, too. And I'm putting this lady's LinkedIn account, and I thought I was going to share her information because when you're talking about education, a lot of times individuals, they put you on this pedestal that you're not even trying to put yourself on because sometimes people underestimate you or they think certain things of you. They come in feeling insecure, intimidated, want to empower you or control you, and that don't work, especially if a person already know who they are and whose they are. So I always knew what my stuff was. I do, and I don't minimize it. I know better. And when I tell people I know better, they don't believe me until they get caught up, and then they're mad at me, and then there's nothing I can do. I used to tell people I make a better friend than I do a lover. I could be your friend forever, but if you try to date me, it's going to be a problem.
Yeah.
Because you're not going to understand why I'm the way I am or why I think, but I'm easy to get along with. Well, like I said, but I want to throw education out there, too. And like you said also, with us not wanting to have children, the family dynamics, it's a lot of stuff. And sometimes we put blinders on. But I want to say the funny thing about my last marriage is after I got married, went home, went to sleep, woke up the next morning, my husband said, so how does it feel to be Mrs. Lewis? I said, when that happened. I didn't remember nothing. He's so mad at me. He said he's mad at me. Probably still mad at me to this day. I literally asked him, when did that happen? Then I wouldn't change my name. So that made matters even worse. So But you do got to take a lot of things into consideration. Enough is not enough. I was talking to a kid recently, Pastor, and he was 15, talking about, I love her to death. I said, what does that mean? He said, I don't know. I just said it. And sometimes we get caught up in that because we have this fantasy of marriage. We have this idea, this Cinderella story and how we want things to be. And a lot of times also gunshot weddings. Some of that stuff still exists. People marrying people because they're pregnant. People marrying people because their parents told them to. I had a person come to me once before where a parent got mad at me because they wanted me to do premarital counseling with their teenage daughter whom they were trying to get married at, I think the child was like 16. So my question was, is she pregnant? No, she's not pregnant. Well, why are you forcing her to marry somebody that she's not ready to marry? I can't do premarital counseling with a person because you want me to talk her into getting married. I'm not going to do that.
Right.
So there's a lot of things we have to take into consideration. Now, we have some callers on the air, and it sounds like they don't want to say anything. So I want to give them the opportunity to speak. If you have any questions for myself or the pastor as it relates to this topic, because, I mean, one of the things is when you know better, you do better. And even if we've made some mistakes on down the line and they say, God, don't like divorce, but by that same token, I like the way T.D. Jakes said there's three deal breakers. When you're talking about abuse, when you're talking about abandonment, when you're talking about addiction, those are some of the things that you do not have to stay in those situations. So I want individuals to know that when we talk about God's perfect plan, and we know that only God can say that it's perfect because marriage takes work. Now, even though marriage
takes
work,
you've
got to have somebody that's – it does, and you've got to be with somebody that's willing to do the work with you because you cannot be married and do the work all by yourself because, as we know, that it changes your life drastically when you're trying to get married. You want to make sure that it's the right decision that you're making. But one of the things is sometimes – and I'm reading something, and it indicates how the Bible warns us against being unequally yoked. And part of that, Pastor, too, is we think we can change somebody. We think we can help them. Now we're talking about codependency issues. I'm learning more about childhood trauma. So, and if individuals are bringing their baggage into this marriage or into this relationship, that's a problem. So we need to take all of that into consideration because sometimes people don't want to listen.
Right. And that's why the counseling is so important. And that's why now taking the advice of the counselors and applying it is huge. I want to add one more thing because I'm familiar with Jake's list. Also, it's counseling 101, but we have to add fraud to that. There is so much fraud going on in Christian marriages, and we have had men who have identified themselves as being, you know, heterosexual, and they marry our Christian women because they want to stay in the church, and then they're dealing with issues, and the Lord allows you to get out of that marriage. We have had individuals who will hide their past things, and people think that once I am married, I'm going to reveal these things. I'm going to come clean with them, and thinking that they're going to change some things. And so let me say that grace and mercy covers marriage. The church is so hard on couples who are going through and who are dealing with divorce. Obviously, God wants us to try our best to try and work things out and patch things out because marriage is honorable. God esteems it highly. God esteems it highly. He doesn't want us to abuse marriage. My hat is off to those couples who have been in marriages, you know, 15, 20, 25, 30, 40 years. My grandparents were married over 80 years. They lived to be centurions. My hat is off to them. But I also know because they were my grandparents, they had a lot of struggles. They had a lot of issues that they dealt with, and the Lord allowed them to get through their situation. But can I say that's not for everyone? That's not for everyone. And so we're not to toss marriage aside like it's a cookie, but we do have to understand that situations do happen.
Correct.
In the news within the last, you know, 10, 15 years, we have seen mega telepastors, televangelists divorce, separate, go through issues.
Mm-hmm.
Some the Lord has blessed to come back together. And they cited this point. We were unequally yoked. And then you get into the situation. I found this to be a very profound statement. We were happy at church because we were always busy. And then when we got home, we were strangers.
Correct.
That's
and
a very,
you know,
very powerful statement.
Mm-hmm. It is, Pastor. And a lot of times when we get caught up in these relationships, we feel forced. There's a lot of dating website out there. They got Christian dating. And people are, and I always tell individuals, being alone does not mean that you are lonely. And a lot of times individuals get caught up in things because they're desperate and they're running from them. And you've also got to be healed. One thing I can truly say, even with my relationships, I never carried that baggage. And my daughter used to say, because you ain't never been in love. I'd be like, whatever. So I won't mess with that. But the bottom line is, you know, sometimes people are so bitter and they want people to pay for what other people have done. And so even if it's yo-yo, even if you know your mess is not okay, you got to work on you. You got to make yourself, you know, clean yourself up. Now, I have some information, and it talks about, when we talk about for Christians, and the main thing that our fathers require when we're looking for a mate, first of all, they say that he that findeth a wife findeth a good thing. So you also want to make sure you are wife material and you husband material. You know, part of it is a man want to say, well, I'm the man. You're supposed to listen to me. You're supposed to be submissive. My godbrothers used to tell me, because I had a lot of godbrothers too, so I learned a lot about the man stuff. So I was more of a tomboy than I was a girly girl too all my life. But part of that, and I would listen and I would learn stuff from them. And they would say, you don't know how to be submissive, or you don't know how to let no one lead you. And I'd be like, okay, but if I'm going to follow, they need to know where we're going, because I'm not going to just follow somebody and they don't know where they're going. So then that could be a problem. So when we start talking about that, what it really means, and when we think that it's just simply going to church or having enough for God, there's a lot of other things. I have 22 ways to tell if you and your partner are equally yoked. One, your understanding and passion for the love of Jesus is similar. You can't sit there and say, I love God. And I remember my last husband said one day, I don't want to have nothing to do with your Jesus. I said, oop, I'm done.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a wrap.
Yeah.
You know, or you both have a desire to grow and propel towards the word of God. You both understand and agree that God should be first in each other's life. A lot of times that becomes an issue because they become territorial. They want your life to center around them, but you got to put God first. You both do not feel jealous about the other's relationship with God. In fact, you encourage it. Now, Pastor, can you speak on that a little bit? Because sometimes the church seems like it breaks the marriages up too, because there is an attack on marriages. Now, what do they mean when it indicates that you encourage the fact and you're not jealous about the other person's relationship with God?
Yes, because, see, we did a show on gifts. We talked about gifts. I preached on it a few weeks ago. It's important to understand that when God begins to elevate, you know, one person in the marriage over the other, it could be the wife God is using, and during this season, we have to understand that we have to support each other. I've seen couples. I've seen couples that were happy. They were maturing in the church, and then the Lord begins to elevate one, begin to use them more in ministry. And so, this is pointing to your question. What we have to understand is that God won't put no more on us than we can bear. And the important part about that, if God is elevating your spouse, he's elevating you too, because the two are one.
Mm-hmm.
And so we should celebrate each other. We should learn to lift each other up. And as we communicate more and share the information, we find out that in a marriage, God will often answer part of the question with one spouse and answer part of the question with the other spouse. I find that happening a lot of times. You know, you're looking, searching for the answer. It's in the mouth of your partner. God works together with couples. And those couples that share in ministry are very, very powerful, not competing against each other in ministry. And so the enemy can use that. we see how Lucifer was put out of heaven because he got the big head. And so we have to understand that. Now, pointing to your question, how the church doesn't help is that less, you know, we see the pastor and wife walk in and everybody say hello to the pastor and don't speak to the first lady. That's wrong. But I've right. seen this my whole life growing up in church, or vice versa, okay, where couples that come in and everyone says hi to the gifted one, the choir director, Lisa, and don't say hi to their spouse. And so now they're saying, you know, everything was fine at home, but then now we get to church and all of a sudden everybody's speaking to her and not speaking to me. And that's how the enemy uses it to divide. And so my statement is that we're smarter than that now. We have to see the enemy, how he likes to come in and divide and separate. And so we should be careful of those things.
That is true. Another thing is we're talking about the 22 different ways to tell.
Yes.
Is you both do not allow, like you said, the other to settle, but you use your strengths and gifts to push each other to become better. A lot of times, like you said, we have to encourage each other. You understand each other's weakness, and you help to correct and cover them, but not covering them to hide them, but you're able to bring it to their attention, and they respect you. You respect each other. You pray together, 10 supplemental spiritual in career or marriage seminars and conferences together. Now, I'm going to say for me and a therapist, a therapist married to a therapist, I don't even know what that would look like. That would be quite interesting. But a therapist being married to someone who's not in therapy, they always feel that they're the client. Like, I'm not your client.
Yes.
Why are you using this?
Yes.
And then when you send them information, you send them information for them to understand what you're talking about, and sometimes they get offended by that. And even in church, I've had people, especially, I don't want to say his name out there, he gets mad at me because he'll tell me, well, you don't read your Bible, or you're not on a set. I said, how you going to tell me where I'm at with my relationship with God? Sometimes I don't even respond, because sometimes that brings on a battle, too, where you can have somebody in ministry and they want to tell you you're not doing enough, or you're not where you're supposed to be. Who are you to tell me where I'm supposed to be? So those are some of the things. So even in church, just because you're in church together, still doesn't mean we are equally yoked. So I want to put that out there, too.
Well, what we've had in counseling with couples like that, if we've told them how to, not so much to have compartments, but how to understand the dynamics of the work life and the home life. And so that's where we've introduced things like date night for couples. We've introduced, you know, family night and coming home and having a home life. Because, see, for couples in ministry, I've had them so much. If this is your full-time job, do your full-time work at work. And when you come home, don't spend all that time studying again now. You've studied or trying to find some new revelation. That's family time. Take a walk.
Mm-hmm.
Walk the dog with your spouse. Do a hobby together. Sit down, maybe watch a movie together at home. Eat dinner. You know, trade off with chores. That's what I do. I love to cook sometimes. Mm-hmm. I love to wash dishes. The trade off in chores, help out with the children, walk the dog, these different types of things to enrich the home life and the marriage life. And mostly learn to celebrate your spouse again. It's one of my early mentors in business was a guy by the name of Zig Ziglar. And he was a speaker. He went around, motivational speaker for businesses, but he was also a gospel preacher. And he was from the South. And he said that every morning before he left home, one of his famous sayings, he said this in front of everybody at church. I don't care if he was at an arena full of businessmen, most of them unsaved. He said, the first thing I did every morning was kiss the big redhead. He called the big redhead his wife because he was tall, his wife was tall, and he called her the tall redhead. He said, I kiss her a big old giant kiss before I left the house. And he said, I would call her 2-3 times a day and tell her I love her. And it was hard for him because in his early life, he was a traveling salesman. And so he needed his wife to trust him because he's out on the road a week at a time, 2 weeks at a time. And communication was the thing that helped them. And that's kind of lead into this bombshell. I got checked a question. The person don't want to identify themselves, But he dealt with it, really hurt because he's married in the church and is devastated still by an infidelity situation. And so here's the bombshell. It's out there. This does happen with married people. And this does happen with high-profile pastors, missionaries, women, people at all level in the church because the devil is busy. I want to connect it to generational curses, sexual sin. I want to connect it to perversion because there are people who are hooked on pornography. I want to connect it to what you stated earlier. There's abuse. Because I was astonished one time at a men's retreat, and the pastor got up and was speaking about abuse, a well-known pastor. And I was sitting there just because this never happened to me. I had to ask the Lord for forgiveness because I was like, why are you wasting time talking about this? Let's get to the next subject. And over a third of the men in that meeting stood up. That was over 80 men that stood up and said, in some form or fashion or another, they were abused as children. And I said, well, Lord, look at this. And so because they had dealt with that, they have those scars that's in their marriage, the wife thinks that they're not being as intimate as they should be or there's something wrong. It's just that in their mind, you know this from counseling, your counseling background, the enemy is telling them, you're not doing it right. There's something you're not expecting. Okay. You know, every little thing messes with them, and therefore this messes with the marriage. And so there's scars, there's unforgiveness. There's even couples that say we want to stay together. They're dealing with the hurt. They're dealing with the damage. Mm-hmm. And so God is able to heal these things. Now, with the couples that end up divorcing, my advice to them is to get completely healed before you seek out another relationship. And so that is so important. And then also to protect the children in the process so that they don't become collateral damage in the situation. And so that message was texted into me. I wanted to address it. I know you're going to add something to it too as well.
You know, Pastor, I want to say, because when we're talking about being equally yoked and once you are together, it takes a lot of work, first of all, we know in marriage, and especially if you're in the church and you're married, because people are looking at you and people be attracted to the anointing and they're so busy trying to destroy couples. I commend, and when I was going to Friendly Church of God in Christ, Pastor and Mother Hammond, they was an ideal couple. Even though Mother Hammond was no joke, Pastor Hammond, he would let you know he loved his wife, and that woman was, I used to say, she a brat. She just spoiled, you know. But she was spoiled, and it was sad that he passed before her because I was like, Lord, what is this woman going to do? You know, because she loved her husband. And you never saw them fighting in the church. You know, they knew their role. And even in a marriage, you have to know when your husband or your wife is weak, you have to be strong. When they're strong, you could be weak. You got to balance each other out. Because even though you may be going through, it may not mean that you're not equally yoked. You're going through. But you also got to take time to get good counseling, work it out, talk it out, and not get into this power struggle. Because a lot of times we talk about this yokeness, we get it confused, and we want to say, well, God put us together. And I mean, I had a woman one time, the woman told me, God, this is exactly what she told me, God put us together. I am not letting him divorce
me.
I had to tell the woman, ma'am, if he don't want you, there's nothing you can do. Well, God didn't mean for us to be divorced. But, so you're going to make yourself miserable.
Right.
This man,
and the Lord don't make mistakes.
God
don't make mistakes. Some of us, we have to understand that you go into every prophet and saying, you know, send me a husband, you know, and you telling everybody, I can't wait to get married. I want to get married. You telling all your friends, you telling everybody, the devil hear it, and people and the con men hear it. Everybody else hear it too. And they're going to present you with something that looks like it is. And so I have to announce, God doesn't make mistakes. When you wait on the right person, when we wait for the Lord to move, He's going to move in the right way.
Mm-hmm.
What's great about the Lord is that God can still bring good out of our mistakes if we will allow Him to. If we will allow Him to work within us. And so I've oftentimes told couples that okay, you were married 3 years, it didn't work out. You were married 5, 7 years, it didn't work out. Tell me about some of the good things about it. They begin to make the list.
Mm-hmm.
We were able to do this. We were able to do this. We had beautiful children. And I said, okay. And so there was good that come out of it. What were the lessons you learned to help you in your next marriage now if you choose to get married again, if God's going to take you down? I learned this, I learned that, I learned that. And so we have to look, you know, on the bright side of these things now and not let the devil keep you in the dark side and just keep
mm-hmm.
you in negative memories and have you walk down and be depressed, because some people just can't get over it, okay?
Right.
And on the flip side of that, I've counseled couples that have been married 15, 20 years and 12 years, and they've been fighting 10 of those years. And the police
mm-hmm.
have been to their home 30 times, and now the kids are violent because they see them violent. The husband, you know, the young man's beating on his girlfriend because he sees the same husband beating on his wife. Different, and then you come back, oh, I'm sorry, God forgive me, God forgive me. Well, you know, if the Lord, you know, forgiveness, and that should have stopped, you know, 9 years ago, 9.5 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
These things shouldn't keep going on. And so now we have people abusing the scripture saying, well, I can't get out of this because the Lord put us together and this type of thing. No, don't be fooled. Don't be, you know, beguiled.
Correct.
You know, two wrongs don't make a right. You know, there are life-threatening situations that people are in. And then the point that you said earlier, just because two people are saved, if there's one person in the marriage that is just making life miserable and not wanting to be there, and they're saying, let me go, let them go.
Let them go.
I am a pastor. I am saying that. And what I'm saying is that, you know, God has something better for you. We are not advocating divorce, but we are advocating sanctity and sanity.
Correct.
And so
Correct.
You can have so many people who are divorced, who are mentally disturbed and ill, stand
mm-hmm.
in a bad situation because they don't understand the fullness of the scriptures.
Correct. Okay, Pastor, we got a caller coming on. Let me log her on because she just texted me too. Hello, caller. How you doing? Hi, this
Good
is
afternoon.
Janelle.
Going well. How are you?
I am doing okay. Thank you for joining us. Do you have any questions for the pastors, any comments you want to make in regards to being equally yoked?
I do not at this moment because I just was able to sign on, so I'm not quite sure yet. I'm just trying to see where you guys are in the actual session.
Gotcha. Okay. Ooh. Well, okay. Now,
well, it's been juicy.
I'm sure. I'm quite sure it has been.
It's been
and
a lot.
I apologize. I missed the last 40 minutes. I was actually with a student, so I couldn't get on until now. So.
Oh, boy. Okay.
Okay. And, you know, and part of that, like I said, we were talking about the equally yoked because people go through. And the first time, like I said, when we go through, we start thinking, okay, this is bad. I shouldn't have got into it. But we got to learn how to work through some things. But we also got to know the signs, like I said, when someone don't want you or when someone is abusing you, are you dealing with addictions? Because you got to remember, some addictions, you're going to have to get that person some professional help. And when people are in
yeah.
the church, it seems like they are under more attack because they're trying to live right. And the more you're
yes.
trying to live right, the more you got to be aware of that. And you also always talk to individuals is about emotional maturity because sometimes
mm-hmm.
our emotions get so out of whack. And individuals have difficulties handling that. Even with domestic violence issues, when we're talking about intimate partner relationships, you took out the verbal abuse, financial abuse, emotional abuse, the spiritual abuse. So those
yes.
are things that we need to be aware of when we talk about the warning signs. Because we be so busy trying to put things together that it was not in God's plan. It was not
yeah.
it's something we wanted. You know, what we were seeing, I was thinking about the Boaz, and, you know, like they say, sometimes you need to get rid of that bozo so you can bring in your Boaz. But now, what were you going to say, Pastor?
I was wanting to say, in addition to some of the points we said earlier, for young couples, counseling is so important. We mentioned that. But after you get married, understanding that the first 2 years of the marriage are the most important. And the reason why is that people have to understand, as we touched on earlier, you're coming from two different dynamics. You have two different personalities, and they're merging. And oftentimes, you can have dynamic personalities. Jeanette, you have a dynamic personality. You can't have somebody timid with you. And so,
I know.
And so we have these dynamic personalities coming together. We have these two different living styles. And so my advice is to continue the counseling during the first 2 years. Don't just say we had our 4 weeks, our 3 weeks of counseling. We got married. We're good to go. No, you're not. The first 2 years are so important. And my list of things that I mentioned earlier that we talk about, that we go through them in the first 2 years, you know, bank accounts, finances, saving for college for your children, setting up that information. Some married couples, I have had them set up 3 bank accounts, his, hers, and ours. Ours is for the bills, all the finances, and his and hers are the 2 smaller accounts, and so there are no arguments. I tell them oftentimes when I got engaged, when I got married, my car changed. I used to have a sports car, and I had 2 pair of cleats in the back. I had basketball, shorts, baseball, all this stuff. And when I got married, I had to change because it was time to make sacrifices. And so the car changed. This is not the car of a single man. You understand? This is the car of somebody in a relationship. And then the same thing is getting to know each other, understanding our differences and celebrating them, and then celebrating even more all the things that we have in common, okay? And the other thing is keep people out of your relationship.
Your business,
keep your business at home. And I have told so many couples this, is that you and your wife have a small argument. Don't go tell your whole family and they mad at him. And then the next time they see you both together, y'all have made up, y'all happy, and the family's still looking at him cross-eyed. And so keep that information at home. That's what your pastor is for. That's what your therapist, your counselor is for those things, to understand that. Don't put your business in the street, as the old church mothers would say. And we have to be careful because not everybody that says, girl, I'll listen. Man, I'll listen. Come on, let's talk. Has your best interest in mind.
That's true.
I can't tell you how many people that'll come to you and get, we call it, what they got was intelligence on how to steal your man, on how to steal your woman. Because you have given them all the information and they've turned it around on you. And so that is so important for couples to understand that.
That's true, Pastor, because the thing is, no, go on and say what you were going to say, Teddy.
No, go ahead, Jeanette.
No, I was going to say, because a lot of times individuals will brag about their relationship, and you bragging to a friend who's lonely, horny, unhappy, or vice versa with a man, and you got to be careful with that. But see, what God has for you is for you, and the person you with also have to realize, too, first of all, you shouldn't want nothing that don't nobody else want. So don't let that intimidate you. Work on your own insecurities, too. And also I wanted to mention in regards to friendship. A lot of times individuals say, let's be friends before we marry. And that's very important. But sometimes just because you made good friends does not mean that you're going to make good mates and good spouses with one another. So I wanted to add that into the conversation. And what were you going to say, Teddy?
No, I was going to say I have a testament to that, what Pastor was saying in regards to relationships and keeping third parties, which will help to keep your relationship healthy instead of toxic, because I myself, you know, was married to my late husband for almost 20 years. We were married before he passed, and he's been deceased now 11 years. However, I still call my mother-in-law, because I'm not remarried, I still call her my mother-in-law, I still call her mom, I still call my sisters, my sisters and they're my sister-in-law. And I even told them, even when I get remarried, you know, that we will be one big happy family. My new husband will have to recognize the fact that that will always be my mother. And one of the reasons that I know and believe in my heart that the relationship is still so strong and always have been is because we did not ever allow any third parties into our relationship, and that kept the bond between myself, myself and my mother-in-law, myself and my sister-in-law. It kept it very strong and healthy. And, you know, I always tell them, I said, now, y'all, you know, I'm going to get remarried again one day. And, Mom, you're going to be, we're going to have three moms. We're going to have his mom, we're going to have you, and we're going to have my mom. And I said, new husband is going to have to accept the fact that you will always be a part of my life. And so will my sisters. And, you know, they started crying. You know, and I think that was very important for them to hear that and understand that, you know, we will always be a family. Just because your son is gone and my late husband is gone, when I get remarried, my new husband is going to have to accept you still as a part of my family. So I just wanted to, you know, have a testimony about that, what Pastor was saying.
Amen.
It's interesting. It's interesting you said that, because I think that's what got me caught up in my last marriage, was because I known it since we were 14 years old. See, my past gets me in trouble. I said, if I would have known what I looked like when I was younger, maybe I would have took better care of myself and not ate myself to death. But I was so busy running, so I get sick of these people coming back talking about when you were 13, when you were 14. I'm like, I didn't even know you even existed. So that part gets me in trouble. But the thing is, I was really close with his mother, and even when she would ask me, would you marry my son? I'd be like, baby, I can't do that. I love you to death.
Uh-uh.
So I think when I did it, I wasn't being attentive because it wasn't in my plan. I wasn't thinking about him like that because we were friends. But his mother always wanted us together, you know, as she got to know me, because she thought I would be good for him and help him, which I could have done that without being married to him, because we still could have stayed friends, you know, which is good because we still get along. There's no malice. There's no bitterness. But I can admit to my mistakes. I get it. But I know better now. Now I'm not going to put myself in that predicament. That's crazy. So
yeah, because you
talk about this. Mm-hmm.
You have, outside of work, of marriages, is, you know, it's 24/7, and that's what you have to understand. And I break it down to every common denominator. You know, if you don't like her toes, you know, you write that on the list. If you don't like the way he chew, put that on your list, because he gonna be chewing that way for a long time. And so people really don't communicate well, and we can get caught up so much in the idea of a wedding. Like I said, I've done over 200 marriages. I do not have one young lady who does not remember the whole Brady Bunch thing and the whole Marcia, you know, the whole skyrocket and flight in my dress, you know, and my cake and my bridesmaid and getting this. And they have all been painted that beautiful picture, you know, from a young girl up and in some form of fashion. And that's what we see. And so, but beyond all of that, again, is now that you've said I do, you know, how is his credit? How is his business, his workmanship? How is his family? These are all the other questions that are important that's going to have a marriage last. My grandparents were married so long, over 80 years, because the old courtships worked. Both of the parents were involved.
Mm-hmm.
They sat down. They talked to the kids. They brought the kids together with the pastor. And I'm not referencing gunshot weddings. We already talked about that. I'm talking about the old courtship styles where they would sit down and they would talk about their plans, their future, and where in some form or fashion, you know, they would begin with a dowry. And we have so many marriages, you know, that are beginning on false hopes and dreams. And then now when reality sets in, you know, people are so ready to quit because they built their dream on sand instead of on a solid foundation. And so asking all of the right questions up front, understanding personality styles, understanding what the true meaning of love is, and understanding the true meaning of the marriage vows. All of these things are germane to having a successful union.
Well, and you know what? And that is true, Pastor, because people do change. And when they change, you have to understand and, you know, they got to get to, like I said, it's a lot of work. I told one of the ladies on LinkedIn that I would share her information, and she is also a therapist in the L.A. area. And she got a thing, she has an event going on, and it says, are you single, feeling disappointed because you have not found the one yet, tired of being the only single one in your group of friends? It says, say no more. Join the other single men and women and some of the best relationship experts for an interactive event on how to attract the perfect mate. Now, like I said, when you're talking about who you attract, you got to be careful with that because sometimes people will come to you for the wrong reason.
Yeah. We're going to have a separate show on that. Because that's a whole different topic now.
Yes, it is.
We touched on it earlier. Marriage, you know, marriage and singleness in the 21st century, and what social media has cast on it, and the things that have become socially acceptable in the church, with lifestyles, with dress patterns, with you know, the new feminism. That's a whole separate, you know. Show, and we only have a few minutes to touch on it, but let me just say this real quick. The church is under attack. You know, the reason why God pulled the rib out of Adam, he said, this is the Lord at the very beginning, it is not good for man to be alone.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to repeat it because it's a short time, but I'm just going to bring up a few minor points, is that God understood how the enemy can attack us when we're idle and when we're alone. And and that scripture goes more in depth in the Hebrew rather than saying just to have somebody around. It's breaking down more into the points that we're talking about, a life mate, a help meet, and what those definitions really mean. When we do it ideally, the way that the Lord wants us to do, then it becomes a reality. You can wake up and look over and be happy every morning if we do things the way God shows us, looking at your mate and this mate. And you will find that if we do things the way God tells you, have so many things in common, okay, we can find happiness even dealing in this world. But if we try to get married by today's standards, worldly standards, internet standards, okay, social media standards, and then try to apply them to our salvation, it's not going to work.
Correct. Correct. That is so true. That is so true. Do any of the people, the individuals on the line, have any questions for the pastor? Because you guys have just been mute, and I'm looking at your numbers here, but you haven't said a word.
Okay. Well, I would just say, this is Charlena Fleming. I would just say that everything that was said was just so on point. I mean, there's really nothing to say because you guys are hitting every point. So I'm really enjoying it. Hello, Pastor Estelle. How are you doing?
God bless you. God bless you. Good to hear you.
Yes, yes. I mean, like I said, everything is good. I mean, I just even listened to some of the things you guys are talking about with the counseling. And I remember doing counseling with my late husband and arguing in the counseling. Every time we went to counsel, we were arguing and disagreeing and fussing and cussing, and that pastor still married us. And so I do believe, like you said, Pastor Estelle, God will show you a layout of everything, and yet you still go and marry that person, or you still go and do, you know, what you feel is what you want, you know, and it's not right, and you know that it's not right. But because of how we've been taught, you know, you got to be married if you're in the church. I met my spouse in the church, but my spouse was new coming into the church. That wasn't something that he was doing on a regular thing.
Yeah.
He had just started coming in, and then this pastor had gave him a license as a minister, like, overnight. And so there was a lot of deception there. And God showed me things, but I just did what I wanted to do, and I suffered behind that.
Wow. Well, I want to thank you for sharing that. That's powerful.
Let me ask her a question.
35 seconds, Pastor. Okay, you can answer these questions next week's topic.
We have to follow up next week, but
we do.
My question was, is I wanted to go into her more on how is she doing now, because what happens is so many times we forget about people. We hear their concerns. We have this, and then we don't do follow up. And so maybe we should follow this up with a show with the people, provide some counseling on air. We can do that because I think it's so important because we need a healthy church.
Yes.
Well, you gave us a topic. We're gonna talk about healthy marriages.
Yeah.
So we're gonna follow up and be in the studio to talk about healthy marriages.
And also getting ourselves together for that next marriage.
Yes, that's so important.
And so we want to cover those. God bless
you. We will be on the air next week live at 11:30 a.m. on Tuesday, as we're going to be talking about healthy marriages. So you can join Pastor Dan Estelle and Jeanette Abney as we're talking about that here at Precious Predicaments Blog Talk Radio. Until then, remember, you've got this. And thank you, guys. Great dialogue today.
Yes, God bless you. Bye-bye. God bless
thank
everyone.
You. Bye. Mm-hmm. Okay, bye-bye.